Welcome to the Living Epistle Podcast, the place where you will find biblical principles to help you live out your faith on a daily basis and to have a positive impact on the lives of others. So, get ready for another powerful episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Hello, my name is Tony Miles, and welcome to this week's episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Well, as many of you know, we just ended our 21 days of fasting and prayer earlier this week. And as I've been saying over the past couple of weeks, I'm sure for many of you, if it's been like it's been for me, it's been a blessing for those of us who have participated in the fast. And certainly, if you're like me, I know that God has been revealing some things to you about you, just as I mentioned in last week, how he's in my part week last week, how he's revealing some things to me about me. And I'm sure that God has been reminding us of what he is calling each of us to do individually, as well as corporately during this time of prayer and fasting. And I know this to be the case because, again, this has happened to me over the past several weeks, is that I know that we could hear God very clearly and distinctly speaking to us, reminding us of the dreams and visions, reminding us of what he's calling us to do, reminding us of which direction that we should go in, right? And again, it was just very clear, and it was that still small voice. But because of our posture of prayer and fasting, we could hear God so clearly and so distinctly. And guess what, my brothers and my sisters? That is, in fact, the very purpose of fasting and prayer. And so for many of us, a side benefit of these past few weeks have been that we ate healthier, that we slept better, we felt better, and just an added bonus, a little cherry on top. I'm sure for many of us, we even lost a little bit of weight. But all of that being said, the fact of the matter is that I know that when we started this 21 days of fasting and prayer way back at the beginning of January, it seemed like 21 days was a long ways off. And now here we are, and we're looking at this 21 days in our rearview mirror. And thank God, right, for this awesome time of consecration where God was showing us, where we were spending time in prayer, we were spending time in his word, we were spending time hearing from the Lord, again, very clearly and very distinctly. And so now the question becomes, right, the question becomes now that we've completed these 21 days of corporate prayer and fasting, what next, right? So first, let's talk about the practical aspects of ending the Daniel fast. You know how we roll at Living Epistle Ministries, at Living Epistle Podcast. We talk about what the practical application is of everything that we're learning, everything that we take in. And so the practical application here is, in other words, how do we safely transition to eating back our quote unquote our regular diet, but prayerfully, our more health conscious diet as we move back into, again, eating a more regular diet. And so I would say this, I would say that it's imperative that we eat or ease back into our regular diet. What do I mean by that? This is especially true when it comes to things like caffeine and sugar and fatty foods and meat and dairy products. Small portions are wise and absolutely go slow. Perhaps one or two, introducing one or two of those foods per day. Truth, full transparency, like I so badly want like a steak on the grill. One of my great joys in life in terms of food is eating a rib steak on the grill, rib bone and rib steak on the grill. Haven't had it yet, right? And the reason is because right now, because of the system and how our system has been processing foods and vegetables and fruits and vegetables, we want to ease back into those things, right? And so for caffeinated beverages, we want to drink maybe a small cup or a glass and then see how our body reacts. And don't be surprised if you've gotten those jitters, right, with that first cup of coffee or that first caffeine or that first boost because you've been haven't had it for several weeks. So for those who are the caffeine drinkers who have to have that cup of coffee in the morning, right, consider decaf. Now, I know. I realize that it's almost criminal or sacrilegious to talk to true coffee drinkers about drinking decaffeinated beverages. But it's true. Try something decaf, again, to get the system back into alignment or back into what you normally would eat. And don't be surprised when you start that regular diet or start eating those foods that you have not been eating for several weeks. Don't be surprised if you find that your body becomes a little bit sluggish, or you feel tired, or you don't feel quite right after eating those. Because again, we've been detoxing our bodies over these 21 days of this Daniel fast. And so our body physiologically will scoff or even kind of buck at some of these foods that we're putting into the body to try to get them, our bodies to digest them again. So again, just be mindful of that. And here's the other thing. Continue to drink lots and lots and lots of water. Hydrate, hydrate, hydrate. At least try to do at least a minimum of 8 glasses of water a day. That's kind of what the nutrition experts say. It's healthy anyway, but certainly as we're transitioning off of the fast. And so one of the lessons that consider some of the lessons that you've learned and the good habits that you've adopted during the Daniel fast. And I pray that you don't leave them behind, but instead let them become a part of your regular life. Let them become a part of your regular diet. And I know that I've again decided to drink a lot more water. I've decided to keep a lot of the healthier food choices now that I've been on this Daniel fast for 21 days. But again, I'm deciding to do healthier choices. So for example, for me, I love fruit juices. I love all natural fruit juices, right? I love apple juice, orange juice, any kind of fruit, just natural fruit juice with no sugar added. Apple juice, orange juice, grape juice, pear, just any kind, right? However, they're not always the healthiest because of the sugar content, even when there's no added sugar. But just if you're drinking the juice, again, it's a lot of sugar. So while on the Daniel fast, I've grown to appreciate water. So I'll add lemon, or I'll add ginger, or I'll add cucumber, just something to it to give it a little different spark or a little different taste. And it's actually quite refreshing. And so one of the things that I've committed to is continuing to drink the water intake that I've been drinking even while on the fast. And it's just a great practice. The other practice that we want to continue to keep on a regular basis is this life of intentional prayer and study and spending time with the Lord, right? As well as these improved eating habits, but the improved eating habits are secondary. The primary practices of being intentional about prayer and spending time with the Lord. And again, if we don't already, please, please, please consider having your personal times of fasting and prayer. We shouldn't only be doing this when there's a corporate call to fast and pray. And nor should we only be doing this when we're facing some sort of pressing issue or circumstances of our lives and we're seeking direction from God, or we're seeking God to move. Now, having said that, let me be clear. These are absolutely appropriate times and appropriate situations for times of personal consecration where we're facing life's challenges and life struggles, and we're having to make life and death or really critical decisions. Absolutely, we should fast and pray and seek the Lord. However, what I'm saying is our personal times of prayer and fasting should not just be when life is there, we're facing critical issues in life, but our personal times of fasting and prayer should be just a part of our regular daily lifestyle. And so, having said that, this is a great segue into the spiritual realm of what happens after a time of fasting and prayer. And so, now that this fast is over and we're expecting to see the glory of God, we're expecting to see God move in miraculous ways, right? Well, hold on, not so fast, not so fast. One of the greatest examples of what happens after a time of fasting and prayer is we see what happened to Jesus after he had fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights in the Garden of Gethsemane. We see this in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I like how it reads from the New King James Version. And it reads, right? So I'm sorry, I won't read all of that. Forgive me. But if Jesus, right? So again, Jesus spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting and praying. And so if Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was tempted after fasting and praying, then who are we, these mere mortal men and women, to not be tempted likewise? And so don't expect that the devil won't come around you again because you fasted and prayed and you've heard from the Lord. In fact, you should expect the very opposite. You should expect the enemy to try to come around. And so several temptations were presented to Jesus after he spent 40 days and 40 nights praying and fasting, right? So the enemy, Satan himself, came, and immediately after Jesus' fast, the tempter came to try to tempt Jesus. And with every temptation that he put before Jesus, Jesus responded to every situation, to every temptation via, "It is written." Again, in Matthew 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Jesus responded to every temptation with a, "It is written." And so I think that's a great blueprint for how we should respond when temptation comes. When temptation comes to us, we should be releasing the word of God around us, releasing the word of God with every temptation so that we can pull down every thought and every evil thought or every evil imagination with the word, "It is written." And we can't pull down the "it is written" if we don't know what's written. So again, it's very crucial and critical that we study the word of God and we spend time in the word of God, right? And so now we should be very sensitive. The tempter can use anything against us. The tempter can use our anger. And I want to be clear, the Bible doesn't tell us not to be angry, but it says be angry, but sin not. So the enemy can use our anger. He can use lust, greed, pride, envy, and yes, even our very family members, our own families. The enemy will use anything that he can to try to get us off course, to try to get us to lose focus, to try to get us to not remember what God has said or what God has spoken or what God has done to us during our time of fasting. Our responsibility is to watch and to be on guard always. We must crucify our flesh daily against anything that will open us up to the enemy, right? Anything that will open us up to the enemy. So we must be sensitive. We must be just watchful and on guard. And the word of the Lord tells us above all to guard our hearts. What does that mean? The Bible says to guard our hearts. Well, what are our hearts? Our heart is the source of all temptation. And let me be clear. When the Bible speaks of the heart, it's not talking about that muscle in the center of our chest that pumps blood throughout our bodies. And you've heard me say this on other podcasts, and maybe if you don't remember, but the biblical definition of heart encompasses our mind, it encompasses our soul, our spirit, and our entire emotional nature and understanding. In essence, the biblical heart is what makes us who we are. In Proverbs 4:23, it reads, "Your heart," and it says, "keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life," right? And I love how the New Living Translation reads this. The New Living Translation is of Proverbs 4:23, and it reads, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life," right? And so again, it's critical that we guard our hearts now that we've been open and sensitive to the voice of God and to the Holy Spirit, that we guard our hearts. And so how do we safeguard our hearts? How do we keep our hearts covered? How do we keep our hearts pure? Well, we guard our hearts by being careful about what we watch. We guard our hearts by being careful about what we listen to. We guard our hearts by being careful about what we read and what activities and hobbies and extracurricular activities we engage in. And yes, my brothers and sisters, we guard our hearts in particular by being careful with whom we associate, right? So again, it's critical that we guard our hearts during this time because they're open and they're vulnerable because we've spent time praying and fasting, and we know that the enemy does not like that. And so finally, my brothers and my sisters, as we are looking at and coming off of this fast, as we have fasted and we've prayed, we can be confident that the Lord God has heard our prayers. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, the A clause in it reads, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers." We must know and believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord has heard our cry, that the Lord hears our prayers. Again, because the word tells us that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. And so during this time of consecration, where we're coming off of this time of consecration, if we've seen the manifestations of God and if we've seen God moving for what we've been praying for and seeking God for, then we praise God and we give God glory. But even if we haven't yet seen the manifestation of what we're praying for and what we're asking God for, we still need to give God glory and praise God anyhow and continue to trust in him, right? And if you'll recall, I've done a podcast a while back when I talked about an "and suddenly" doesn't mean quickly. An "and suddenly" means that God's sense of timing is different than ours. And whenever God releases the blessings that we're praying for, whenever God shows up in the manifestation, whenever God moves, when God moves on that situation, it will be the right time. It'll be right on time, right? And so no matter what we may be going through, no matter what we may be facing, no matter the situations, the circumstances, no matter what we're crying out to God for, if God has not yet moved, it doesn't mean no. No, it just means not yet. But we'll continue to give God glory. We'll continue to thank God. We'll continue to praise God. We'll continue to reverence God. We'll continue to worship God because we know that the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to our prayers. And so we thank God and we believe in faith and we'll keep moving. We'll keep trusting. We'll keep going forward in the things that we know that God has spoken, believing that when God moves, God will be right on time. So my brothers and my sisters, I just urge you to continue in the faith, continue to be intentional in your prayers, intentional in your spending time in the word, intentional in being the instruments in God's hands. Be intentional about being vessels of the Most High God. Amen. Amen. And so remember, family, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words. This is Tony Miles. Thanks for listening. Now go and be a living epistle. Join us again next week for another episode of Living Epistle Podcast. Music for Living Epistle Podcast is provided by Audionautix.com.